they want to look hot. There's an innate thing I feel in every, most humans, I shouldn't say every human, to be considered fuckable. Getting tired of hearing all these noises in my head. I can't seem to make them go away. Sick and tired of hearing you say I'm already here. When you gonna get up and go away?
Hey everybody, welcome back to Bad Ideas Social Club. My name is Aaron McCall.
And I'm Joe Madison, and this is a space for growers and showers and failures and friends.
This time I popped out to Trish Hadley's photo studio in St. Louis, Michigan, which, I mean, no disrespect, but I had no idea that was even a fucking place.
Oh, yeah. I know nothing about it.
Trish is a boudoir photographer, and her work is sexy as hell. It's dramatic and raw, and it's deeply personal and real and cathartic for the women and men being photographed in such a vulnerable state. It's incredible and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And her studio is in the upper level of this older Victorian style home. So not only did she welcome me into her space, but I also got to hang out with her dogs a little bit.
You love that.
I do. Murray, Norm, and Freddie.
What kind of dogs?
I'm a dog guy.
I'm a dog guy. I don't fucking know.
I don't know. All I know is that they're furry and awesome and I love them.
I don't see breed.
We're going to cancel you.
Yeah, that's not good.
She also gifted my wife some merch, which I loved, and it says, Trish Hadley Boudoir smells like slut in
what
here.
What the fuck? Are you serious?
Yeah, it's so good.
Dude,
it's
her
so brilliant.
Sense of humor is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really good.
It smells like slut in here.
I love it.
It's amazing. Oh, that's amazing. Fuck, that is so your style. That's so your vibe.
Yeah.
Just like the way she addresses her work, you know, it's like there's a ton of emotion, a ton of intentionality, but like not shy whatsoever.
Well, I don't think you can be.
Right. True. Right? But as the artist, I feel like you just are very similar individuals. You're very similar artists.
I think so. There's less boobs in my stuff. Some.
I've seen your boobs a couple times. For work specifically.
Anyway.
That wasn't a fat thing.
Okay.
We all got boobs. All
right. Well, we'll talk about this later. Okay.
All right. Before we dive in, don't forget to follow wherever you're listening. Leave a 5-star review and don't forget to tell your friends.
And if you want to help support the podcast, buy a t-shirt or a hoodie or a tank or something from our Cotton Bureau store. There's a link in the episode description. And with that, here's my conversation with Trish. Yeah. And then if you do say something that you're like, I wish I didn't say that.
Just like something political or something.
I don't give a shit.
Okay.
But I don't know. Like I've had people be like, oh, you know what? Actually, that might get me fired.
Oh. Yeah, I'm not worried about that.
Yeah. But so I don't know. This is our first conversation. I mean, outside of like
Instagram
or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we start at the beginning? Why don't you give me the backstory?
Of the business?
Of you. Who the hell are you?
Who the hell am I? I'm Trish. And I photograph women for a living. This is my third career, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I went to school to be an art teacher, and I lasted 2 years.
What took you out?
Honestly, it wasn't the kids. It was just I felt like the school system in America was a joke.
Oh, sure.
And I was like, I'm never going to make it. Like, I could just tell my spirit just...
Yeah.
So, yeah, and then I got into graphic design. I had an art degree, and I didn't know what to do with it. So I took a night class. It was like one of these 9-week potpourri of just design, like Illustrator, Photoshop.
Yeah.
And I got a job at a newspaper, of all things, after following that class. And
what does a graphic designer's job look like at a newspaper?
So this would have been like late 90s. I'm really dating myself now. But I'm old enough to where they were doing the clip. You'd clip things together and then it would be shot. But then it kind of like morphed into laying things out in PageMaker. That's how old that was.
When I was first starting my graphic design career, they were like, you have to learn this.
Yeah.
You're never going to use it, but we should just in case.
Yeah, there was that in Quark.
I've still to this day never used it.
Yeah. I don't even know. It's not, I don't think it's still around it even, is it?
Probably not.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was in that world for a while, and then I got hired in an agency. So I sold myself out for designing for a lot of corporate bullshit. Did not love it. Actually, about 20 years ago now, because this is the 20th anniversary coming up, my mom acquired a brain injury, and it was pretty severe, like almost to the point of it would have been better if she would have passed away because she had no quality of life.
Oh, geez.
So in my family, it's kind of fucked up. I had I have siblings, but they were not like super responsible people. So I knew she was going to need care, you know, between her and my dad. Or I should say between myself and my dad, helping take care of her. So I had to quit my job and I had to freelance. And I was scared shitless because you don't know how you're going to get work. You don't know how you're going to pay the bills. And so I freelanced for 8 years after that while helping take care of her. And I got a job offer in Chicago. I wanted to take it because I really wanted to get out of Michigan at the time. I just was like, oh, I want to be about the big city and all that stuff. But things just with her and work didn't work out. But I could tell I was getting burnt out as well.
Yeah.
Like, I was starting to hate my clients. I was doing work that I didn't like to do.
Yeah, I can relate.
Yeah. Like, the biggest account that I remember working on that paid me the best was about hazard, like remediation for your home.
Oh, so like the real sexy stuff.
Yeah, like mold and fire and shit like that. And I'm like, okay, I want to die. The weird thing that happened was, so my mom actually had passed away. We had put her in a nursing home at one point because it just got too crazy. And I went to the funeral home to, and actually my dad was in the nursing home at that time as well. But went to the funeral home, and when you go to the funeral home and you're taking care of, you know, all that stuff, they want you to usually bring pictures of your loved ones so they can put them on display. And I was like, yeah, I don't really want it. One of those cork board deals where they're going to stick a bunch of pictures of the thumbtacks and shit. So I was like, I got this. I'll take care of it. So I went back to my mom and dad's house. And of course, there was nobody there. And I started looking through pictures and I couldn't find like any of her, just her. And I ended up getting into the little liquor cabinet there. And I'm like, just frustrated. So I had like an entire bottle of wine. I'm laying on their bed in their bedroom. Closet's open. I got shit strewn all over the place. And I happened to look up in the closet and I saw like this Keds shoebox. And I'm like, God, I hope there's nothing bad in that box. So I crawled up on a ladder, got it down, dumped all the contents out, and then sitting on top, and I have a picture actually downstairs, but I had this picture, I found it of just her on the beach, and it was and I blew it up and that and used that for the funeral. And people went apeshit over that picture. They were like, oh, she was healthy there. I remember what she, you know. And that was when I like realized that a lot of women, I'm not talking about like the ladies today that are doing selfies of everything.
Sure.
But most women run from the camera. They, or if they're moms, they're taking pictures of their kids or whatever. They're not out front.
Why do you think that is?
We're worried about being too fat and not looking good and being too old, you know, name, you know, fill in the blank.
Right,
right. For whatever reason, if I ask a woman, like, name five things about yourself that you don't like physically, they can rattle them off. And if I ask them to do the same thing, well, things that they love, that list is going to take longer.
Is that part of the process?
No, I just know it. Yeah, like, okay. I know that's just how we are. And some, you know, a lot of men are like that too.
Yeah, I definitely struggle with some like body dysmorphia stuff.
Yeah, I think it's common. Yeah. It's and but we really get lost in our own world and we think it's just about us. But like I hear the same things over and over again when women are coming in here. They're like, I want to do this, but I'm out of my comfort zone. I want to do this, but I hate my belly. I want to do this, but I hate my boobs. Like it's always something, and it's I hear it over and over and over again. So
at what point did it go from design to photography?
So actually, a really weird twist was my husband. My husband's a 911 dispatcher, and he's been doing it for a really long time. And back then, so this is like 2012-ish, he wanted to get into wedding photography. He took my camera that I was actually using for like taking pictures of products for clients, like for websites and stuff that sure. I would build, because they would never give you good enough pictures.
Right. Ever.
Ever, right? So I'd be like, ship me the products. I'll take the pictures. And it was just like a Nikon D40 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And he had been playing with it, and he was like, you know what? I think I want to get into wedding photography. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? You don't know anything about anything. So we went to a big conference that they have every year in Vegas. It's for wedding portrait. It's WPPI. And I'm like, go find out and see if this is what you really want to do. I'm going to go be at the bar. You come get me when you're good and ready, you know. But yeah, so he went to that. And then I remember one of his classes, I actually screwed up on the time. I went to go find him, and I was like 45 minutes early. And I was walking through, they had an exhibit there of just random photographers from all over the world. And I'm like looking at stuff, and I was like, oh, I forgot that photography could be an art. Oh, you yeah. know, I just, it didn't, when you're in design world, you kind of think of it more as functional, like, oh, I need to have this photo for this ad.
Yeah, right.
Or whatever. But I was like, wow, this is pretty cool. And there was a photographer there. Her name was Sue Bryce, and she was from New Zealand. And she specialized in women. And her philosophy was a lot like what I experienced at trying to find pictures of my mom. Like, she was like, women don't, you know, want to be in front of the camera. But yet, when you go back in time, it was very common to have a picture of your mother and father in your house, like the matriarchy. Right. And we don't really do that anymore. It's like, if people do, they go and get family pictures, like at Christmas time or whatever. Right. But for women to have a picture, a portrait of themselves was kind of unheard of, like in the last, you know, 50 years or whatever. So I was really interested in that. And I thought, wow, that'd be a cool job to do. But I just don't see myself letting go of my design career that I worked so yeah, hard right. for. And I have all this clientele now. And after a while of thinking about it, I'm like, you know what? I think I'm burnt out. I need to try something new. And that's what I did.
Was it just like that? You just shut the door and opened up a new one?
Pretty
like,
much. Yeah.
That's fucking crazy.
It is crazy. My husband was not happy with me. He was like really worried about money. And so was I. But I was like, I don't know. This just feels right.
Yeah.
Like, even rented a studio before my camera came in the mail for delivery.
That's wild.
I just had a feeling. I don't know.
That's wild. And I think photographing people overall, like, already requires this sense of vulnerability and trust.
Yeah, definitely.
Especially boudoir photography. Mm-hmm. And I think especially the way you do it, that takes it 20 steps farther. So how do you make that connection with your subjects in a meaningful way that enables such trust and vulnerability in a space that is so personal and intimate?
So it's not easy. A lot of people think that boudoir, or really any photography, is just someone sitting in front of you and you're doing the clicking of the camera. Yeah. And they think, and that's like less than 2% of what I do. The biggest thing for them is I have to have stuff on my social media that proves I'm legit.
Right.
You know? And then the biggest thing for them is booking the appointment. And I've had women who, I've been doing this for 10 years now. I've had women who have waited 5, 6, 7 years.
Wow.
Been following me that long, and they finally book. And then when they,
it takes courage, right?
It does. It's huge, because they will see my Instagram and they'll get intimidated. They'll be like, oh, all these, you know, beautiful women or whatever. And it's like, those are everyday women. You yeah. know, it's not, this is not a model feed. I shoot with a model randomly, like maybe once or twice a year.
Yeah.
But no, they're regular women. And they have the same fucking complaints that you do, you know. So when they come here, we're just in one room right now, but there's, you know, four other rooms up here that I shoot out of. And they all have their own kind of like personality and light and stuff. But it's really about making an environment that's comfortable. You know, I make it about them. I play music that they like. I make sure that the temperature is good for them. I talk to them and ask them about them. And make sure that their outfits, you know, are going to be good. They just want someone to basically run the show for them and tell yeah. them what to do. they don't want to make a whole lot of decisions when they're here.
I kind of think you're offering more than just like a set of photographs, right? I think
I think you're
offering a sense of confidence, mm-hmm. right? So like, how do you carry around that kind of responsibility?
Good question. So I have to take them to kind of have to graduate them and do them in simple poses before we do anything crazy. Like there's a spectrum of people. Obviously there's some women who are going to want to get naked and like, you know, bare all. That's rare. I mean, I do photograph people in that position, but it's really, sometimes they'll have women come in and they'll bring robes. And it's like, yeah. This is boudoir. You know, we can play with the robe, but you're not really going to be wearing that robe.
Yeah.
if I graduate them and they start out with simple poses, and I was actually always taught when I was learning boudoir, never show them the back of the camera until you've got everything edited. And I realized that I was with a client one day and I showed her the back of the camera because it was just a really fucking awesome shot. And she was someone who was kind of uptight and she saw that and it instantly relieved her. It was like, oh,
that's amazing.
I look good in that. Okay, now we're good. And I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to try doing that from now on. And now I do that. I don't show them that with obviously every shot.
Yeah.
But if I had a good one of them and it's like straight in camera.
Yeah.
And they'll always say the thing too. They're like, oh, I can't believe that's me. And it's like,
that's incredible.
Bitch, it is you. I didn't run out of the room, go photograph somebody else that looks exactly like you and come back, you know?
So what is it that you think that most women and men are looking for?
They want to look hot. They want to be, there's an innate thing I feel in most humans, I shouldn't say every human, to be considered fuckable.
Yeah.
Honestly, that's the easiest way I can say it. Because when you are considered fuckable and you consider yourself that, you just carry yourself differently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's that confidence, right?
It is.
So then how do you navigate the balance between capturing the vulnerability and ensuring that they're okay?
Okay. As far as like feeling good?
Yeah. They're confident. They're comfortable with you.
I ask them a lot too. We might do three poses and I'll be like, are you doing okay? And usually I can gauge like if they are.
Yeah. You ever get any liars?
Yeah. I mean, not necessarily liars, but they want it. They're trying to push forward. So like even like last week, I had a gal who I would do a pose with her and I could tell she was holding her breath in each one. Because when we would do the pose and I'd be good, she'd go like this and like this big breath of air. And I'm like, are you okay? And she's like, yeah, it's just my process. Like I'm trying to get through it. And then that actually kind of went away later on. It's just, I would say the average person takes 15 to 20 minutes to kind of ease into it.
Yeah. So she stopped trying to get through it and started like
enjoy it. Yeah.
It. Yeah.
Even though they only see like a couple pictures in the back of the camera, they usually leave here being like, that was way more easy and more fun than I thought it would be.
Yeah. And then I think it's that kind of experience too. I mean, speaking from the outside, I've never done anything like that, but I feel like it's probably that kind of experience that AI cannot duplicate in any way, shape, or form.
Right. And AI is so, it still looks so illustrative. It still looks fake at this point in time.
Yeah. I'm sure. And like the seven fingers on one hand doesn't help and that kind of thing.
Yep.
So is there usually a story when you're photographing or is it like a, hey, I just want to be fuckable? Is it that simple?
There is a story usually and it varies for everybody and they always bring their baggage here. Sometimes I'll know about it right when they inquire. Like some people will just be like, I want to know what your prices are, blah, blah, blah. Because they're shopping for a photographer. But other people are like, you know, I saw your work and I would really like to do a shoot. I'm divorced from last year or I'm a mom and I have, you know, kids under five and I don't recognize this body anymore. And they want to reconnect. Weirdly, even though the fuckable thing is a big part of it, it actually has a lot to do with identity. It's weird.
Go on.
So even with dudes, because I've been photographing a few dudes lately, if there's this big life change for somebody, whether it's divorce, lost a job, lost 100 pounds, gained 50 pounds, turned milestone, age 40, 50, it's the mind-body connection, like, has to be one thing, I feel, in order for us to be happy.
And it's so fucking hard to achieve.
It totally is. I don't know. I have a problem with it myself. Like, I mean, I've gained a ton of weight, like, in the fall. And my husband and I went on a cruise, like, around Christmas time. And I saw pictures of myself. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, what the hell, you know?
Story of my life. Story of my life. I call it my winter coat.
Right? So, I mean, it's kind of like a never-ending thing. But I have people that are on a... And I hate the term self-love, and I hate the term empowerment. It's so overused in my industry.
Yeah, but.
But I get it. And people who sometimes they're often on a journey of just trying to accept themselves, especially if they're getting older, or especially if they're a mom and they had kids. Their body's never going to be back when it was in their early 20s, you know? And it's about accepting it. And again, knowing that they still have positive things going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You ever have it go wrong?
Not really. I've had shoots that were really tough.
Yeah.
Like somebody who just either couldn't relax. Like probably my worst one was a couple years ago. A gal came here. And my ladies come from all over. Like all over the state. And she drove like from Detroit. And she had been doing some weed on her way here. So she was trying to relax. And then, and I didn't know this, but I do serve like a glass of wine or something before. Yeah. But she had some Jack Daniels in her, you know, belongings. And she was sipping on it. She was getting all fucked up. And I kind of didn't know the extreme of it until about after doing one set and, you know, moving on to the next one. Because she was starting to slur words and stuff.
You're like, all right.
Yeah. And so... trying to, it's like, you know, wrangling a cat kind of thing. You just like can't do your job.
Yeah, right.
But then, right, she like just had a breakdown in the middle of the shoot and was like talking to her dad, molesting her and blah, blah, blah. And I'm saying people bring that shit to their shoot and she just like, it was just like the whole verbal diarrhea thing. And I just did what I could with the shoot, but it was kind of a shit show.
Yeah. What do you do? Are you just like, all right, well, roll over. Or whatever.
Yeah, it was kind of just past that point where I could save it. I mean, I got some stuff, but it was kind of a...
Fuck, that sucks.
Yeah.
What role do you think self-expression plays in what you do, both for you and them?
So I will have some ladies that will totally bring outfits that are about them. And like, so if I have a gal who is into... Star Wars. She might bring a Star Wars shirt, like a t-shirt or something like that. Something playful. Or I'll have like the gal who really wants to wear red leather, you know, kind of a BDSM kind of sideline, which is totally not, that's not my personality at all. But if it's about them and they like it, then I'll totally encourage them to bring it.
Do you ever have trouble getting into that space if it's something that you're not?
Yes. So
how do you get there?
Oh God, I don't know. Sometimes I just look at the clock and I'll be like, I'm done. Be done in an hour. So I do what I can. I mean, I have a list of things that I really don't want them to bring.
Yeah,
like don't bring cheesy ass maid costumes and stuff like that.
Yeah,
you know. But and I'm not big into props. Like, that is some. There's some photographers that like that stuff. I just am not about
you
that.
Got you. Got to tell me what props have made things go wrong.
I had a gal bring a cake one time and she wanted a cake in between her legs because it was her birthday. And, I was really worried about lighting the candles on that thing. Sometimes it's the prop is the actual outfit. Like I had a girl bring a mermaid tail once and that was hard to shoot.
Yeah, I'd imagine so.
But I mean, like I have wings here and things like that. I can deal with if it's a garment. However, the weirdest fucking thing was I had a gal show up and she brought a box with her and she goes, Trish, I know you don't like props, but I'm really hoping you can do this for me because this is a private joke between me and my husband. And I'm like, oh God, you know, what the hell? So she brings it upstairs here and she She drink takes it out of the box and it's a fucking leaf blower. Like, you know, the garden stuff.
You could have been like, you get 10 guesses. I never would have guessed that.
And I'm just like, she goes, just a couple shots. And I'm like, Jesus. I have a room that's just all black. It's kind of nondescriptive. Mm. So it's one of these ones that you wear on your back. You have it like as a backpack.
Oh, yeah.
And she had like a little outfit with it. But it looked, she looked like a Marvel character. It did not look sexy or cute or anything. And I just remember while I was shooting and I was like, don't tell anybody that I did this for you because I don't want anyone to know about it.
Yeah, and I will not be posting this
one. No, exactly. Nope.
So how has all of this helped shape your sense of identity?
So I realized that as I'm getting older, I connect with women who are over 40 more. Because when I got into this, I actually was shooting like a lot of brides.
Okay.
Because brides will often want to do this for their groom. It's a gift kind of thing. And I'm finding out that I don't identify with them as much anymore. Like I'm watching people. So like Pam Anderson has been kind of in headlines lately. And I mean, I grew up with Pam as far as like, you know, she had the big old boobs and the pencil thin eyebrows and the makeup and all that stuff. And it was all fake, right?
Yeah, right.
And now she's out, and I want to say she's in her mid to late 50s, something like that.
Yeah, she's not really wearing makeup.
She's not wearing makeup, and she's making headlines about the whole fucking makeup thing or non-makeup thing. And she looks great.
Yeah.
And she's actually, her Instagram's blowing up, and she's got like these really natural photos. And I'm loving that she's embracing that because I feel like I look at a lot of women, especially over the last 10 years, and everyone wants to look like a Kardashian, you know, with the lips and the
eyebrows. Cutter.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. So it's refreshing. And I identify with that because I hardly wear really any makeup anymore.
What about how things have influenced your relationships?
So I noticed that I do kind of get burnt out on women. When I'm listening to women and their stories, which I totally appreciate because it makes for a better shoot too. Mm-hmm. If I go out with women friends, I don't necessarily want to listen to all their bullshit.
Yeah.
In fact, I went to a dinner party last summer and I was sitting at a table with like 8 women and they were all just going on and they like complaining about their husbands or whatever. And I just, for whatever reason, I'm like, this is like what I hear at my job.
Yeah. I need a break.
Yeah. I literally went to a different part of the restaurant, sat at the bar, had a bourbon and a burger, and I had the best time.
That's the dream. That's the dream.
Talking to strangers. It was like awesome.
So I don't want to speak for them. And I know you said you don't care for the term self-care or that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that for many of your subjects, the process is just that. It's a form of self-care. But what are you doing to make sure you're taking care of yourself physically, emotionally, mentally?
It's funny that you mentioned that because I'm actually going to physical therapy right now for my back.
Okay.
And I don't think that my back is actually a physical thing. I think it's a mental thing.
Stress?
Yeah. Something? Yeah, I think a lot of it, because the thing about boudoir, more so than like if you're shooting families and things like that. Like I say, they're bringing their baggage here and I'm dealing with a lot of that. And I never went to school to be a therapist. I'm like the worst therapist of all time. But it wears on me. So, and I put off, like I've had this back issue since like November. And really? I finally just went last week to a physical therapist. I'm like, I need to do something about this. But yeah, you definitely have to almost remind yourself to do stuff for yourself.
Yeah, it's so damn important too.
Mm-hmm.
So outside of this, what are you doing to kind of keep yourself happy and fulfilled?
I spend time with my husband. We're foodies.
Love that.
We'll do day trips in Michigan every once in a while. I spend a lot of time with my dogs. I walk the dogs.
Dude, I love your dogs. I met them.
They're crazy.
Just now for about 5 seconds. But I'm a dog guy. I love it so damn much.
I know. Honestly, like if I could pick any profession, it would probably be like to run a dog sanctuary or something like that.
I love that.
Yeah. But yeah, being around them, and I have been trying to do meditation for the last couple of years. That's hard as fuck, especially because if you have a monkey brain like I do, it's hard, but it's really worth it to learn.
What are you getting out of it?
Just calming yourself down. Because I've never been diagnosed with ADHD, but I think I have it.
Yeah, same. Just,
when I read the symptoms, I'm like, check mark, check mark, check mark. And I'm like, ooh. And I know, and I'm not a big fan of meds.
Yeah.
Just, I think it was when dealing with my mom and her brain injury, she was on so many medications. And that shit can just change you physically. I mean, it's just, it's, a lot of it can be pretty terrible.
Yeah, and the imagery of it just sticks in your fucking yes. head. Yes.
So if I don't have to be on meds for something and try yeah. to figure out a different way, then I will. And that's kind of what I do.
Yeah, I just started on Lexapro several months ago,
mm-hmm.
right? Because again, I didn't want that because I've had similar issues in my family with just like meds fucking all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I don't want this shit anywhere near me. One of the best decisions I ever made.
Good.
Yeah, it feels awesome. I know it's not for everybody, but mm-hmm. like, I don't know. I'm just sharing.
That's okay. I feel like if it's right for you, then you should totally do it.
What about things like self-doubt and creative block? How do you deal with that?
So I did have a creative block, actually, starting the new year, because I found myself last year. I knew things needed to change, but I didn't know what.
Yeah.
It's like you can feel it, but you're like, what is it? And for me, it was just change. I know I need to make the shift from, and I'm in the process right now. Women that want to do a shoot for their partner.
Yeah.
It's nice. And I like those clients, but I am more about the women who want to do this for themselves.
I love that.
And I could tell last year, I just had a bunch of situations that just kept coming back to that. I mean, there's one thing about if somebody comes in and they want, like if they're a bride or they were doing this for an anniversary present or something like that, they're not as invested. Like I like the woman who she's either got divorced or something's happening where she's doing this for herself.
Yeah.
She's in the no fuck zone sometimes. Like, and yeah. it's amazing, like the shots that we can get. And it's not about being prettier or being younger. It's about they're just more invested in it and they want to do it.
You've had people that can take 5-6 years
mm-hmm.
to kind of get a hold of you or mm-hmm. To kind of go through with it. Like, do you keep up with that relationship or try to encourage them in some way? Or is there anything that you would say, oh, maybe you shouldn't be doing this?
I do weirdly have a nice return rate of clients. I would say almost half of the people that I photograph on a yearly basis have shot with me before.
Oh, that's amazing.
And the weird thing that happens is if they do a shoot with me, then they come back. The second shoot is always better than the first one. Even like just how it goes, how the production of the images, because they are more confident. They know me, you know, they're kind of trained in how I pose them.
Yeah.
And plus I try to keep it fresh as far as like, so like last year we added a rain room mm-hmm. and that's like, you know, a wet look.
Oh yeah.
My husband was not happy with me wanting him to set it up like that because it's actually in the basement.
Okay.
And his response was, no, you know, most people want to keep water out of the basement. I was like, no, I got a plan. You know, that's the good thing about having them come back. They can try new things. But I would say as far as like screening someone who should not do it, I usually try to catch that before they actually come here.
Yeah.
I've had people, I think, with severe body dysmorphia that it's not going to solve their problems.
Yeah. And this is just going to make it worse.
In some cases. Yeah.
You ever had any clients that start to come back and you're like, no, no, thank you.
I've had a few. Yeah. Like they're just either too high maintenance.
What are their names?
Yeah. I'll just be like, yeah, I'm booked. Yeah.
Not was, sexy. Yeah. So have you ever considered an exhibition or anything like that?
So back in 2018, I actually did a campaign and the website still exists. It was called the For Real Campaign.
Okay.
And speaking of Pam Anderson and her no makeup look, that's what my campaign was. And I was still doing more portrait stuff there because I've actually only been doing boudoir since 2020. like full on boudoir.
Oh, okay.
I actually did portrait work and some boudoir sprinkles kind of in the first half, but I did a no makeup campaign. And my goal was to just have women come in and do portraits of them with like no makeup. And I did it because someone pissed me off online and said, oh, well, the only reason those photos look good is because they're all had their hair and makeup done. And I was like, fuck you, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
So my goal was I was going to just shoot like 20 women, and it ended up being 120.
Really?
Yeah.
The website's still up?
Yeah.
What is it?
I'm pretty sure it's For Real Campaign. Fuck it's like, yeah. And I did most of it in black and white. But at the end of that, and so speaking of stories, I had a whole section on the website, and I didn't do this with everybody. But like, say, I did a lot of individuals. I would do mothers and daughters. I did sisters. And I would have them tell a story kind of just about like where they were at in their life, how they felt about being in front of the camera with no makeup on, how they felt about the images. So there's a lot of stories on there. But what I ended up doing was it was such a crazy ass successful campaign that I did an exhibition. So I made all these prints, you know, and I had their stories next to the print. And then I had vendors there like that were all women related.
Amazing.
It was amazing and it was a great time, but I'll never do it again.
No?
No.
Why?
I was a wreck.
Yeah. It's stressful, yeah, right?
Very stressful. Yeah.
Was it just like the production of the thing, the organization, the logistics?
All of it.
But what about that feeling when you like step back and you just see the collection of your work?
It was surreal.
Yeah.
But I was like just too overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it kind of like when you get married and like you can't really enjoy the day and it's gone in 2 seconds? Like,
that's exactly it.
Where are you at in your life right now?
As far as what?
You ask these other women stories about where they're at in their lives. And
So I told you I gained a bunch of that weight, mm-hmm. like in the fall. So, like I'm a stress eater.
Sure.
Like a lot of people. And stress drinker too.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah. I was doing behind the scenes and I saw myself and I'm like, ugh. You know, just like the cruise pictures, like, okay, I need to do something about this.
Yeah.
So I've been walking the dogs. I've been trying to, you know, eat healthier. The whole, you want to be happy with yourself.
Right.
And it's weird because it's kind of hypocritical. Like I'm telling women, mm-hmm. you know, come on in, do pictures. You don't have anything to worry about. You're going to look awesome. You're going to be happy. And yet here I am, like not happy with where I'm at right now. So that's kind of a struggle.
Yeah, it kind of gives you some perspective a little bit, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. I don't know. Weight is probably the number one issue of women and their excuses of why they don't want to do it. And I totally understand that. So having that quality, though, I get it. Like, that helps me relate to them.
Yeah.
So that's a positive on it.
Do you ever share? Do you ever share with them to kind of make it relatable and that kind of thing?
Yeah, absolutely. I did a photo shoot, a boudoir shoot. 2 years ago, and it sucked.
Really?
Yeah, it sucked ass.
Was that your fault or the photographer?
It was the photographer.
Let's bury him.
So I was really on the fence about sharing the story of my crappy boudoir shoot. It was this total letdown because I was going to really share this with people, you know, I'm doing this shoot. And then I literally was sitting in a hotel and making this video about my crappy shoot, and everyone wanted to know about it. And I'm like, really? You want to know about like that? And they did. They want you to share. So I hired somebody that I'd found on Instagram. I liked their work. And I missed the red flag on what was on their Instagram. And I'll just reveal that in a second. Okay. But this person is in my industry as a teacher. And the unfortunate thing about photography is it's infiltrated with a lot of people who should not be teaching.
Yeah. Or shooting.
Yes. Yes. That's unfortunately the case. There was a big conference. I met my friend out there. She's a commercial photographer. And we went to this conference. And then I was going to have my shoot during this conference. And I was going to this person's workshop. So my shoot was the one day and the workshop was the following day. And it was at an Airbnb in Vegas. And the photographer had hired a hair and makeup person to come into my hotel room. And this bitch was like 2 hours late. And photographer shoots natural light like I do. And this was like in February. So you've got like a timeline.
Yeah, you got about 35 minutes of light.
Right. So when she did my hair and makeup, she didn't speak very much English. And she was just really rough with me. But then when I saw the hair and makeup after, I looked like a Puerto Rican whore. And if you could, you see me, I'm a very fair-skinned, redheaded girl. I have no eyebrows unless I put eyebrows on, right? That's how fair I am. I did not recognize the person when I was looking in the mirror.
And not in like a good way.
No. And then, so I went to the hotel. And of course, daylight's, you know, dying. And I told the photographer that I wasn't happy. And that's when this person revealed to me that they'd never used this person before. And I was like, fucking A, are you kidding me? So I said to this person, I was like, don't shoot my face. And I made like this round gesture on my head. Don't shoot any of this. Just do, you know, do the body, do the poses. But when I was being shot, I could tell like my face was being included. But I'm like, no, yeah. I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to let this person, the professional teacher in my industry. You know, the thing I do with my clients, and I mentioned before, like, I make the music about them. I make the temperature about them. None of that was included. There was some weird, like, Mexican soap opera music playing. Like, I'm like, what the fuck is this? It just wasn't comfortable. There was no relation, no one talking to me, really. So when I left there, my friend came to pick me up at the Airbnb, and I was just telling her, and she was just like, gotta be fucking kidding me, Trish. And I'm like, yeah, I know. This was like a year in the making that I was looking forward to the shoot.
Did you walk out to meet her in your full
fucking makeup? She just like stared at me. But it was just not a good experience. I paid for photos, but I didn't love them.
Yeah.
I just had no connection with any of it.
That sucks.
It does suck.
What's next for you?
I mean, I see myself doing this for a while yet, and then someday the dog sanctuary will probably happen. Yeah. But yeah.
Have you ever considered shooting dogs or doing anything like kind of?
So we did that for a while. My husband and I did when he was in his wedding photography phase. But it's weird. Like in Michigan, parts of the state are more dog friendly than others.
Yeah.
Like I feel like up in even Traverse City, they like dogs more. Yeah. And even in Grand Rapids, too.
Yeah, we love our dogs in Grand Rapids.
Here, not so much. There's still a stigma, I think, on just dogs are not so much a part of the family.
I refuse to subscribe to that ideology.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's still people like me that exist, like, because I have no human children.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
But, yeah, it's just not as prominent here.
I don't get that in any way.
Yeah, I know. Me neither.
I'm gonna go down a fucking rabbit hole if I don't readjust.
That's all right.
Is there anything else we should talk about before we go topic hopping?
No, I don't know. I don't think so.
Feel good?
Yeah.
When you're gone, what do you hope people will say about you?
Maybe not say, but I want them to sing Tina Turner "Simply the Best."
in like unison, like a crew.
Sure. Like a choir. Yeah. That'll do it.
Finish the thought. Creativity requires
abandonment of structure.
Say more.
So when I was a kid and I used to like draw all the time, and I told my much older sister that I wanted to be an artist, she's like, well, there's the term starving artist, and that's what you're gonna be, you know, like you can't make a living out of being creative. And I feel like a lot of people don't try to be creative because it's not looked as fundamental, or, you know, it's more honorable to be an accountant than to be a photographer kind of thing. So to be creative and to want to get in that world, you have to abandon all that other shit.
What would your last meal be?
Again, it probably wouldn't be a meal. I'd go to Caesar's Palace in Vegas and do their buffet.
Yeah. I've never done their buffet. Enlighten me.
So it probably cost about $100.
Okay.
Funny, after my shoot, that's where I went.
Just like, I'm going to go eat my feelings.
Yes. Because it's amazing. Like, you can go to the buffet and there's like, you keep going. There's like 10 rooms of just everything, seafood, Mexican, Chinese, all of it. In fact, there was a woman at the buffet and I had my plate. Like, I was ready to get some like tacos and stuff.
Yeah.
And there's this bitch up at the thing and she didn't have her plate or anything yet. She was just perusing to like check everything out. And I would just starve myself for like a week to do this shoot that sucked. Yeah. And I'm like, I want my tacos. And I like kind of pushed her out of the way and she went, excuse me. And I'm like, bitch, get out of the way.
Did you not know the day I've had? What's the best advice you've ever received?
I remember when I was leaving my agency job, my boss, who I wasn't really a big fan of, because he knew I was going to freelance, he said, you're going to work harder for yourself than you did for anybody else.
It's true.
Yeah.
What's the worst?
The worst advice?
Yeah.
When I was going to get into photography, one of my clients from my design world, she found out I wanted to focus on women, and she thought that was stupid. And she's like, you really need to just photograph children.
Fucking why?
I don't know. I'm like, there's 10,000 other people already doing that. Why do I want to do the same thing? Honestly, some people just, they have a really ill-conceived notion of what boudoir is about. A lot of people think it's about just tits and ass.
Yeah.
And like I told you, it's a lot of it's about identity, but there's just so many people that don't understand that. So when I last year, when I was starting to feel like things were a little bit off and I needed to change things, and I was at a bridal show in Grand Rapids, I had two ladies that stepped into my booth, and typical booth, you have like albums out, you have prints and things like that.
Sure.
And they were looking at a bunch of my stuff, and I'm probably like the worst person to be at a trade show. I don't go into a spiel. I just like say hello and I answer questions.
Yeah.
And they were there for a while. Like, they were looking at every book. And so finally the one piped up and I thought she was going to say something or start asking questions. And instead she said, and she's holding my book like right up to her face. And she's like, wow, these women must really be in love with themselves to do this. And I was like,
bitch, get out of my booth.
That was my first impulse. But so I did, I know you've talked about like going to therapy. Yeah. I did go to therapy for about a year because I was dealing with anger issues. And I recognized I was having like a flare up at that moment because I could feel my whole body just getting red and hot. And so my first impulse was to tell her to get the fuck out of my booth. But instead, and I don't know where this voice came from, it didn't even sound like me. It sounded like 10 octaves lower. But all I said to her was, I goes, actually, a lot of women don't love themselves, and that's why they do this. And for however it came out of me, she just took the book and she put it down, and then they just left really super quick. So
sit with that, lady.
Yeah. But again, I feel like they look at it because they want to do it, mm-hmm. but there's that whole, only vain people do that.
What advice would you give yourself just starting out?
Remember all your days in retail and all your encounters with people, because you're probably going to still deal with that factor a little bit. Because it's not just having someone in front of you and taking their picture. You're dealing with a person, and some of them are assholes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And your space, I don't know if this is like everybody knows this, but like your studio is your home.
Yep, this whole top floor.
I would lose my mind if somebody is an asshole at me in my fucking home while I'm trying to create something for them.
Yeah. I mean, I used to have a space in Saginaw and it was a big open space. Mm-hmm. I think, and I've definitely changed how I book people, because coming here, you're right, they're my house. And so far, so good. Yeah. I definitely had a higher asshole factor in Saginaw.
Well, that might have been location.
Maybe.
What are you watching or listening to right now?
I'm really lame. So I'm actually doing an editing marathon this week and next week, and I'm rewatching The Sopranos.
I've never seen a single episode.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, if you like mobster stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you believe in ghosts?
I do.
You have any good stories?
So this place is not haunted.
I would have thought for sure.
Really?
Well, just because it's like...
Cause it's old.
Yeah.
130.
And, yeah, and it's big and, yeah. You know.
So speaking of Saginaw, because I had my studio there for 6 years, it's in Old Town, which if you're not familiar, it's the whole Michigan lumber baron, time period, because on the river, so everything is Victorian era. And I would often, and I was on the second floor, I would often hear footsteps above me and nobody would be there. And, there is a, funeral home about 3 blocks down from where I was at, and there's a guy there now. His name is Steve Shippey, and he has a paranormal business. Like, he's an investigator. He's actually, he's had shows like on Amazon. Really? Things like that. Yeah. And he called me one day when I was still over at that studio because he wanted to have headshots of him and some of his staff. And I said, do you know anything about this building that I'm in? And he's like, yeah, that's, it's not a super like haunted one, but, or active one, but you know, it's usually like footsteps and stuff above you. So like, he knew already yeah. about it. But then the funny thing was I was outgrowing that space, and the guy that owned that building, he purchased the funeral home that was a couple blocks down, and I was thinking of moving over there. So I went over there.
Into the funeral home?
Yeah. Because he was like going to bust it up and just do different businesses in there. And there were already some businesses in there. So the space I was looking at was actually like the old chapel part. It was just really open. And I was thinking of just like sectioning off and having like these different looks. And for whatever reason, I couldn't meet what the landlord had wanted to do. Like, he couldn't give me the price on what electrical yeah. was going to cost. And I'm like, I can't fucking sign a lease if I don't know what things are going to cost.
Yeah.
So we actually ended up finding this place. My husband did this house. And I was like, you know what? That's going to be better because we can just live there and, you know,
you
whatever.
Have to deal with the ghost situation.
Right. So then my friend, this was last year, she's like, there's this paranormal thing in Saginaw. And we, you know, we go at late at night and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, whatever. Just give me the address. So I look it up and I'm like, why does this look familiar? And I get there and it's that fucking funeral home. And so the Steve Shippey guy set up his, he's got a museum down there.
Okay.
And the space.
Like a paranormal museum?
Yes. It's cool as fuck. He's got like a ghost box thingy that you can talk to.
Love that.
He's got like all kinds of series.
I've always wanted to like.
Yeah.
Just like go on one of those. I think.
So he hosts those. Really? So that's what we went to. And it was in the space that I was going to move into. And that place is haunted as fuck.
Well, yeah.
He has these little recorders where you can ask a question and you can't. You have to play it back.
Yeah. EVP.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, so everybody would ask their own question and or questions. And like one of the questions I asked was like, what color did your hair used to be? Brown. And it's like, why do you like staying here? And it was like, blah, blah, blah. You couldn't really understand all of it. But then I had asked a question like, are you trapped here? And it clear as day, the answer was yes.
Oh, that's so fucked.
And yeah, so we had a lot of fun, but it was eerie. And he had these dolls and shit down there. And
see,
like,
why do you gotta do the dolls?
But we made jokes before we left that we were going to carry something home with us. So, and I had to, that road that you took here, the 46, is just two lane of farm, right? So I had to drive from Saginaw back here. And the next day when I got up from after that paranormal thing, I just felt sluggish and pissy. I was like in a really bad mood. And I had to go out that night. I remember to try to meet some friends or something. I just didn't want to go. And I just was like, I don't know. I just felt weird.
Yeah.
And I was getting ready in the other room in my bathroom. And Norm, my middle dog, the brown lab, he never comes in the bathroom. But he came in there and he walked past me and he stared at the wall. And I'm like, what the fuck, dog? What are you doing? And I just, I was like, man, maybe I did bring something home with me. So I staged the shit out of the house, set off every smoke alarm. But yeah.
Fuck.
Mm-hmm.
What can you not live without?
Downtime. Like I'm definitely an introvert. If I'm with a crowd of people, I have to like come home and just not talk to anybody or, yeah.
How bad do the shoots take it out of you?
Pretty bad sometimes. Depends on how much baggage they bring with them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any regrets?
Of course. Probably going to school to be a teacher. Just kind of never really used it.
Last question I have for you.
Okay.
Are you okay?
Yeah. I'm good. I'm in a job that I like. It's challenging.
Yeah.
But I can think of a hell of a lot worse things I could be doing.
Yeah. Awesome.
Are you okay?
I don't know.
It's different all the time, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Like from hour to hour sometimes it seems like.
Yeah.
All right. Well, now that we just bummed each other out. Before we go, where can people find you?
I am TrishHadleyBoudoir.com. I have my Instagram, which I took the boudoir name out of it. I named it Trish Hadley Studios because I thought maybe AI wouldn't catch me that way, but it didn't matter.
Well, look for it. Maybe it'll be there. Maybe it won't.
We'll see.
I want to go see your dogs again. So,
you can totally hang out with them.
So let's get out of here.
Okay.
All right, Aaron McCall, I want to share a personal story with you that relates to something Trish said, if that's cool.
Light me up.
Okay. So recently, Eric and I had a shoot where we're photographing a bunch of different portraits for a business. And a lot of times in those cases, you have people that are coming up to you that have to have their photo taken. It's not really their choice, right?
Yeah.
It's like they're doing it because their business has hired a photographer to get everyone's portraits. So she came up and she was very timid. It was obvious from the get-go that she was like super uncomfortable. Trish mentioned how she used to not show her clients the back of the camera.
Yeah,
because it
could
potentially throw the whole thing off, right? So I take a couple photos and, you know, we get to a spot where it's like, all right, we have a couple options. So we show her and she looks at them. She goes, I hate them.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, she was like, I absolutely hate them. I hate my photo. I feel disgusting. There's nothing y'all can do. It's not you. It's me, whatever. So it was like, hey, take a minute. We have a couple other people on the lineup today, so we'll come back and we'll see if there's a little bit of time. We'll try again. So we go through and we're photographing a couple other people, and I'm checking in periodically. I'm like, hey, how do you feel? Do you want to try a couple more? No, 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 no. Whatever you want to do, whatever's going to make you feel good, you're worth the time of taking a few more photos so that you feel good. And I could see a switch flip in her brain of just like, this is someone who really wants me to feel good about these photos. And when Trish was sharing her reasons why she does what she does and just like how it screams through her personal experience and that story about finding that photo of her mother and just all that, the reason she's doing what she's doing is what really gets me super pumped about being a photographer.
And it takes this like level of trust that, you know, as a photographer, that like, I don't really know what that looks like.
Yeah.
But I know that it's huge and I know that it's real and that it's there. I think the closest thing that I can relate to in terms of that vulnerability and creativity was when we were in college, I took that figure drawing class.
Yeah.
And what that is they like someone just gets in the middle of the room and they get naked and then you draw them.
Yeah.
So this is why I, at least me at that time, would not be able to do something like what Trish is doing because because it takes a certain like level of maturity that I'd maybe didn't possess. I played it cool, you know?
But the fact that you have to say you played it cool means you probably didn't play it cool.
So I'm sitting there with my giant pad and my charcoal and stuff, and this woman, and it's the first day of class, right?
Yeah.
So like I expect, you know, you go in on the first day and you're like, here's the stuff you need. Here's all blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And then somebody walks in a robe and just gets naked. And I was just like, you can't just throw that shit at me.
I'm too simple for this.
You can't just throw that shit at me.
Yeah.
I guess the way that it worked was like, students could like volunteer for that kind of thing as credit. You could get like credit for it.
Okay.
And there were so many times I would see this girl in the hallway and I just tried not to look at her because I saw so much of her.
Yeah, because you'd gotten your fill.
That's so fucked. It's
so fucked.
Oh. All right. Fuck you. We're going to shift a little. I think we have to. But Trish was talking a little bit about her subjects kind of getting lost in their own head, in their own space, yeah. And body issues. They've been divorced. They're just trying to start over and that kind of thing. And I think I can relate to it from the body issue side of things.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people know what that feels like, you know?
Yeah.
And a lot of these people are on a journey of accepting themselves, which is incredible. And that's such like a huge step.
Yeah.
You know, so when Trish was talking about how those girls in her booth were kind of like being shitty.
Right. Yeah.
Like I was like they must like be in really the moment,
full of themselves to right. be doing something like
yeah,
this.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, man, I wish I had the courage to like do something like that for myself.
Yeah.
Can you imagine wielding that much power as a creative?
Yeah.
You can?
Yeah, I can.
I can't. Tell me about it.
So I can't imagine. I don't have a lot of instances in my work where I feel that directly. But as I shared with my story, I feel that all the time when I'm working with someone and I can tell they're uncomfortable with their photo being taken. The experience of working with a photographer changes the moment the photographer starts to take control of the environment and how they do so. So from what I heard, Trish wants the individual she's working with to be comfortable and to be themselves and to be comfortable being themselves. She also shared the story about how she worked with a photographer where that was not the case at all.
Yeah, that sounded like a fucking nightmare. Yeah,
and that's the difference of two different experiences completely led by two different photographers.
So let me ask you this, Joe. Yeah. As a photographer, what advice would you give to somebody to kind of help nourish that kind of relationship?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I know the exact answer to it. Here it is. You need to check the reason you're shooting what you're shooting. What are your intentions as a photographer? Because that's why the story of Trish finding that photo of her mom is so important to me, is I think that's the root of why she does what she does. She wants women to see themselves, to feel good and to feel powerful, to see themselves looking healthy and sexy. And in that moment, she said that, you know, she realized there needed to be a change, that taking photos for your spouse is very nice. That's a nice thing to do. But where she really where she wants her work to go, she wants to take photos for the individual that's doing it for themselves.
Yeah.
That was awesome. The answer to your question is, I want you to check your intentions. If your intentions are, I'm going to take this photo because I think it's going to get a lot of views and it's going to get whatever, I don't know if that's it.
Yeah.
But if your intention is, as I feel emotionally pulled to create an amazing image for this specific reason, you're already 90% of the way there.
I mean, that's the difference between a good photograph and a good photographer and somebody who knows how to push a button.
Yeah, I could. Right. I absolutely. Yeah.
Awesome. Joe, you got anything else?
This is one of my favorite conversations of the season so far. So please check her stuff out. I think that's it.
All right. We'll see you next week, babies.
Getting tired of hearing all these noises in my head.